The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by IGS Energy and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and Comcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another live edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy, alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. We are live on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, and let's not waste any time. Joined now by Bears General Manager Ryan Pace on the program. And Ryan, a simple question. When did you know that Matt Nagy was going to be your guy?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, there's so much research and preparation that goes into this. You know, I think, you know, a lot of times those kind of point you in a direction, but you got to meet the person, you got to feel the personality. So I would say probably about halfway through that interview, had a pretty strong feeling that this was going to be our next head coach.
Ryan, I'm pretty intrigued by his experience in the Arena League, because I really do think that's the one position that can help the NFL position the most is quarterback. How much did you investigate, you know, 374 touchdowns, 55 interceptions, over 18,000 yards? That's hard to do in the Arena League. How much did you investigate Matt Nagy's involvement in the Arena League?
You know, hey, Tom, a lot. And, you know, when I was in New Orleans, you know, the Saints also owned a team, an arena team down there, so I was at a lot of those games and actually, you know, saw Matt playing some of those games. And so I was able to talk to a lot of the people that were affiliated with that league and talk to them about Matt, even back to, you know, him as a player, you know, and they talked about, you know, his leadership and his intelligence as a player and all those traits. And I think there's things even today that, you know, Matt, you know, I'm sure takes from those experiences, even as a play caller and what he does in offense, some creative things that are fun to see, you know, little wrinkles to the West Coast offense. And, you know, the fact that he played quarterback and was a highly successful quarterback in college and in the AFL, I think that says something too. So that definitely played a factor.
Ryan, Jim Miller here. Congratulations. And, you know, I know Matt talked a little bit about his influences, coaches that have helped him out, with, you know, going back to his playing days in college at Delaware or high school. He brought up and maybe talk about his influences that have influenced him in the NFL. When you look at Andy Reid and Brad Childress, I think he's outstanding. When you look at Brad, were you able to talk to any of those guys to maybe get more uncovered about Matt Nagy?
Yeah, you know, like I said in the press conference, the depth of references on every one of these candidates was a lot. So it really helped. And especially with Matt, we were able to talk to a lot of different people. But when you talk to a coach like Andy Reid, and, you know, obviously a highly respected, highly successful coach, you know, it's powerful, you know, to know how he feels about Matt. And, you know, he's had a lot of head coaches come out of his staff, and some of the things he says, you know, really resonate. You know, they really carry a lot of weight, you know. And you know, Jim, I like the fact that, you know, it's a mentor for Matt, and, you know, Matt leans on him, you know, and he's leaned on him throughout his career, and that's obviously who's influenced him. And I think that's powerful to have somebody like that. You kind of have a blueprint coming into your job as a head coach.
The Bears go out of their way to make the announcement just as you come on the air, the breaking news that the staff is beginning to fill out, and there's a new offensive line coach in Harry Hiestand, a name that's very familiar to Bears fans, and he did great work at Notre Dame. Why Harry Hiestand, and what else can you tell us about what this offense is going to begin to look like now?
Yeah, Zach, we've been working hard on the staff, you know, from the moment, you know, Zach got in the facility. And so with Harry, it's a guy that he talked about right away, you know, in his interview. If we can get this guy, he's going to make a big difference with our offensive line. It's one of his most important hires. So obviously I'd heard a ton of great things about Harry, you know, throughout this building. And then, you know, just going to Notre Dame and watching how their offensive line plays and you know, they're great technicians, and that's a credit to Harry and what he does. And so it's a really important hire. We couldn't be happier to have him here, and I think he's going to make a big impact. And it's just the start of a process of filling out a staff, but we're real fired up to have Harry here.
You know, Ryan, during the course of the interview by Coach Nagy, he mentioned that defenses are so hard to identify these days. You know, everybody's called a four-man line or a three-man line, but he says most of the time that teams were playing sub-packages against him. So when we're talking about Vic Fangio or the defensive coordinator, what is there a style that you have in mind, or is it more what Matt Nagy's talking about, is that they morph into whatever offensive style you play? That's the type of coordinator we need right now.
Yeah, Tom, I think there's a lot of truth to that and what Matt said. You know, you got to be flexible on defense because you are in sub, you know, you whatever, 65, 70, 75% of the time. So I, just looking at our defensive depth charts around our building, and they've always been this way, we put them up as a really a sub defense. So the nickel corner, you know, he's a starter, just the way it's going to play out. So I know, you know, we talk about base defense, 3-4, 4-3, but Matt's right. You know, you're in sub all the time, so you really got to look at your defense that way. And when you're talking about a defensive coordinator, you're just looking for the best man for the job, and, you know, that'll maximize your personnel and kind of minimize your weaknesses, and those are good coaches.
It was refreshing here. Matt Nagy addressed the media yesterday and just said, "Hey, there's going to be ups and downs. I don't know everything, you know, but I'm going to find out if there's something I need to know." And, you know, I think a lot of people look at Sean McVay, what he's done out there for the Rams, and certainly you mentioned the support system, not only with the organization and his coaching staff and all that, or calling Andy Reid or a guy like Brad Childress, but to maybe even call a guy like Sean McVay. You know, it sounds like Matt is open to learning and kind of soaks everything up like a sponge. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that, of maybe checking in with a guy like Sean McVay.
Yeah, what's great about Matt is he's confident, but he's also humble, you know, and so, you know, you're willing to, you know, get ideas from anybody and always listening and always looking for ways to improve. And I thought he really addressed it when he talked about the playoff game the other night, and, you know.
Yeah.
Just how he addressed that, I think. And the one thing with Matt that stood out right from the beginning is, you know, the word authentic comes up a lot. You just, you know, he's just going to be himself. And I think, you know, hopefully everybody felt that yesterday. You know I felt it right from the beginning. And, you know, he just doesn't have a big ego. He's very collaborative. And, you know, I feel like I'm the same way. So I think that works really well together. And reach out for different ideas and reach into college football for creative ideas, the Arena League for ideas. I mean, there's a lot of neat things you can do offensively to be creative and scheme things and maximize your personnel. And that's what Matt's really good at.
We're talking with Bears General Manager Ryan Pace here on Bears All Access live on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Ryan, you are so detail-oriented, and you went through the different layers that you went through in order to identify this candidate and really all the candidates before you made your decision. In going through the research, what is it about Andy Reid's assistants that make them productive head coaches? When you went through the history of these guys, what is it about him that leads to success?
You know, first of all, their preparation. They're so detailed in the preparation. So, you know, how they practice, how they execute. I mean, everything's really dialed in. It's very detailed. How they utilize all their personnel. I think when I think about Andy Reid and a lot of the coaches that have come out of there, how adaptable they are. So, you know, if you have an injury within a season, or if you're stronger at a different position group, you know, season to season that can change, or within a season that can change. And so how adaptable and how detailed they are. Those are traits that really stand out when you think about those guys.
And as a guy who understands football, what gives you the confidence that through just 5 games of calling plays this past season, that he's a guy who can have immediate, sustained success doing that as a head coach?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's the interview, and it's also, you know, again, talking to a lot of people around the league and, you know, and watching a lot of Kansas City tape, too, and just seeing what they're doing. And I think you look at Alex Smith this year, and, you know, his quarterback rating, I think, was the tops in the league, the best of his career. So you saw what he's doing with Alex Smith, and, you know, you see the behind-the-scenes work with Mahomes. But it's beyond just the quarterback. You know, it's the whole offense. And then, you know, for us, you know, we have to project that to the whole team. And, you know, you just know that he has. You talk about players having the it factor. Well, Matt has that it factor as well, and that dates back to his playing days. You know, people just gravitate towards him. He kind of has a natural charisma, a natural leadership style that's just kind of infectious. And I'm excited to have him in front of our team and leading us going forward.
You know, Ryan, when you think of the offensive talent in Kansas City, the quarterback position, Ivory, Tyreek Hill, and then you look at Kelce, the tight end, you look at Hunt, the running back. It has some similarities to what the Bears are offering right now there to a prospective head coach that's offensive-minded. So Was that part of the sale? Not sale. Was that part of the convincing with Matt Nagy and the weapons that they already have in place because of the similarities in the style that he runs in Kansas City?
Yeah, you know, he talked about that. A lot of the similar traits that we have, but and with a lot of, our guys being younger guys too, you know, and we talked about you know the entire roster, and you're right, there are some parallels, Tom, to the teams, but we got to get better in a lot of areas on offense too, and I recognize that, and that's on me, and fortunately, you know, we have the resources with the draft and the cap space to attack that, and I'm excited for Matt to come in and, you know, with his staff and kind of look at our roster, you know, with a clean, you know, fresh eyes and sit down and let's just talk this thing out. And we need to get better, and we will get better as we go through this offseason.
Yeah, it's interesting because those evaluations, I mean, football never stops, as you know, Ryan. I mean, you heard John Gruden in his press conference how many times, hey, it's time to get to work. And I'm sure Nagy wants to get to work as well when you look at the new coach of the Bears. And, you know, and having those discussions where you're doing the evaluations, I'm sure Matt wants to dive into the game tape as much as anybody to get the – you know, really get the answers that he's looking for to evaluate the roster of the Bears. And just maybe talk about that from a schedule-wise, those conversations between you and him where you probably meet and are discussing all those type of, roster moves and what you're looking for to create.
Yeah, you know what's interesting, Jim, is we were on the flight coming from Kansas City to Chicago, and on that flight, we were already talking about upcoming free agents, you know,
yeah. And
just bouncing names off each other and kind of what we thought. And it was pretty cool to already have come to the same conclusion, you know, independently on a couple of these free agents. So that's exciting. And right now, you know, Matt's really focused on the staff and the coaching staff. And then it's going to be diving into our roster. And then we'll sit down with our scouts and just kind of go through the whole thing, you know, the whole entire roster. And then from there, formulate an off-season plan and then just start attacking it and kind of do it arm in arm together. And that's the fun part.
The last couple of weeks, you've been peppered with questions about Vic Fangio's future with the Bears. What's the best way to characterize what's happening with the defensive coordinator search as we speak?
Yeah, you know, as you said yesterday, have a ton of respect for Vic and what he's done with our defense, and I think that's been well stated. And you know, Matt's working through the whole staff right now, and you know, he's taking some time and being thorough with it. But you know, we've been in communication with Vic, and Matt's been in communication with Vic, and it's just a process. You know, yesterday was kind of packed with the media, and then today's kind of all about that. So that's kind of going on as we speak.
Ryan, appreciate your time, and as we say goodbye, we heard a lot last week about Ryan's plan. Can you give us a little bit more information now that you have a head coach in place and you know who your quarterback is going to be in terms of what is Ryan Pace's plan going forward?
You know, I think it starts with having good people, around me. You know, you're only as good as your staff, and I think we got a lot of good people around us. And, you know, starting with Matt now, I'm just so excited that, you know, I woke up early this morning, couldn't get back to sleep because I was excited about Matt and the things that, you know, we're going to do together, you know, and with his leadership. And I couldn't be more excited, couldn't be more optimistic. And we got to fill out this staff, but, you know, you just visualize, you know, right now you visualize, you know, you pair, you know, you've seen guys around the league, you see, bright, you know, offensive-minded head coaches paired with strong quarterback play, and that's sustainable, you know, and so that's something to be excited about, and the future's bright here in Chicago.
Now you can hear it in your voice. Ryan, thank you so much for joining
us.
We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Ryan.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Bears General Manager Ryan Pace spending some time with us live here on Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy. A lot to dissect from what we just heard. Join us at 312-644-6767. We'll break it all down next with Tom Thayer, Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Welcome back to Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy, a proud partner of the Chicago Bears, providing electricity, natural gas, and home warranty products to over 1 million customers across the country. Learn more about IGS Energy at IGS.com. Tom Thayer's here, so is Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. We just finished talking to Bears General Manager Ryan Pace. Very comprehensive interview talking about the direction that the team is going in. If you're just tuning in, a move has been made since the show started. The Bears have hired a new offensive line coach, Harry Hiestand, who was here during the Lovie Smith era when Olin Krutz, Roberto Garza, Ruben Brown were part of that standout offensive line that made the playoffs in back-to-back years in 05 and 06.
Yeah, and then he's gone on to have great college success at Notre Dame. Not only the success the team has had, but the ability to relate with high school players, to recruit them, to get them to come to Notre Dame. And it's tough because there's so many other schools out there that have as high as a profile as Notre Dame, and some of them are located in better parts of the climate world where it's more exciting for kids to go to. But Harry's done a great job in the development of talent, being relatable to the young kids we talked about, then also taking an offensive line that has a lot of movement to it. The guys, they're not coming in as freshmen and being four-year starters. They could start anywhere 2-3 years throughout their career. And what we've seen Harry be able to do with the entirety of the offensive line is quality college play. And he's been in the NFL, and he understands the NFL landscape.
And before we break down what Ryan Pace had to say, Jim, when you have a head coach who is also your offensive play caller, you can make a case that offensive line coach is probably the second most important coach in regards to offense.
Yeah, well, I definitely think, you know, when you're obviously getting an opportunity to coach in the NFL, you certainly want guys with experience that you can count on. So, you know, whether it's Vic Fangio does return as a defensive coordinator, which would be outstanding for the Bears, I think special teams coach is important to a first-time head coach, and I definitely agree with you. I think it would be the offensive line coach that needs to be there and you know, really to support everything Coach Nagy is trying to accomplish for the Chicago Bears. So, you know, that supporting cast that Ryan Pace talked about is imperative. You want the strongest staff you can have, certainly guys who are well-versed and experienced as, you know, Matt Nagy embarks on his NFL head coaching career. So it's truly, you know, that's a big part of it. And it seems like they're making all the right moves right now.
Jim, let me ask you two parts about being a quarterback in the NFL, because Matt Nagy was talking yesterday at his press conference that when you're a play caller, you're constantly looking at your play sheet, because even though you're looking at a second and 10, you need to think what your third and whatever it's going to be and how quickly you can start looking at that column to call that play. And then when you're not the play caller, you're kind of watching the game and you're understanding the ebb and flow of what's going on in the field. When you're a quarterback and kind of this speed up to the Mitchell Trubisky, is your mind blank after the play you called and you go to the line of scrimmage, you run it, or do you have plays running through your mind thinking, okay, this would be a good opportunity, or maybe he'll call this one because we practice it during this down and distance time? Take us through the mind of a quarterback and the guy calling the plays on the sideline.
Yeah, absolutely. And I got to believe, you know, Matt Nagy, obviously we know about scripted plays and all that. You're going to know going into the game, hey, what's your first third and short call, or third and medium call, or your third and long call? And you're going to kind of memorize those things prior to the game, knowing what you're going to do and what you're going to attack and what matchups maybe you're looking to attack, you know, long before the game even starts. So, yeah, you're thinking like that as the game goes along. You know, you've got that voice that you've heard every day that's coaching you, like, because Matt Nagy will be having all those discussions with Mitchell Trubisky, what's expected in all those situations, and that's a reassuring voice. He's going to give the coaching points that were brought up during the week in that quarterback QB system that's brought on. But as a quarterback, you're thinking the game, and you're thinking, oh, coach is calling this to set up this, say, third and four. And you already know that, hey, I already know what our first third and four call is going to be. You should already have that logged as a quarterback because it's already been covered prior to the game even starting. Or knowing the situation that, hey, we know our field goal kicker is good from 40 yards and you got the ball at the 30. All right, I can't take a sack here. You're already thinking about that when you start embarking on approaching the red zone, that I already know I got 3 points in the bank. You know, how aggressive am I going to be here in this situation? All those will be discussed in those meeting rooms and what Matt Nagy expects from the position. I think what's interesting from Matt is obviously he had the opportunity in Kansas City. I mean, granted, they traded up to get Patrick Mahomes because Trubisky was already off the board, but Matt Nagy already knows quite a bit about Mitchell Trubisky. He interviewed him. You know, he knows the traits and the skill sets, which I think a lot of them are pretty similar to Alex Smith and what Alex Smith brings to the table.
What in particular?
Well, I just think the athleticism. I mean, to me, and I've been saying it for years, Alex Smith, I don't know why people, you know, basically call him a game manager. That guy is a tremendous quarterback. I mean, he's got the lowest turnover ratio in the National Football League this year. He has never turned the ball over in the NFL. That guy has won more games in the past 4 years. He's like third all time the past 4 years. It goes like Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, and Alex Smith. He's won a boatload of games. And so in that style of offense, just the history of Andy Reid or even a Doug Peterson or Brad Childress, they've got a great reputation of bringing along young quarterbacks, Andy Reid especially. I mean, that guy's parlayed draft picks where he's pumped up quarterbacks where they've been traded away for draft picks, and that may happen this year with Alex Smith for the Kansas City Chiefs. So there's a great history there and pattern that you can really dive into, and I think all those things are really exciting about Matt Nagy.
You know, he also said in the press conference that when Mitchell Trubisky gets on the field, he's going to give him more responsibility and give him a little bit more freedom behind the line of scrimmage during the cadence to call a play to go in the audible system. For a young quarterback, is that putting too much on his plate, or is that a good thing so he can start recognizing maybe what the second-tier play is that he's confident with if he's got an audible out of a certain defense, a certain look, a certain field position?
Yeah, I think all those things will be coached. And, hey, you know, at least Mitchell, he's got a year under his belt now. You're going to want to force feed him information. It's about how it's installed, and Matt will get a good feel for Mitchell. Hey, how much is he able to handle? Can I give him more? Do you want to give him the whole enchilada? I always bring that up in terms of presenting your offense and throw it all at him, or do you want to piecemeal it? I mean, so, and Matt will get a good understanding of that, but clearly you see Matt is going to expose him to a lot. Because that's where the game is going, and the game has been going there. And I say it all the time about Peyton Manning, how he kind of revolutionized the position. The playbook's at your fingertips at the line of scrimmage. And so, and if you know and share the vision with your head coach of how to attack defenses in terms of what is presented you, that playbook is at your fingertips, and you should be able to attack it, have an answer to be able to attack it, because that's the worst feeling in the world. I remember a couple times, you know, back when I was younger, and you line up for a play and just say, we've got no shot against this defense. They are going to sack us right now, you know, because we didn't have answers. And now you want answers at the line of scrimmage. And I think Matt will be great at giving Mitchell Trubisky those answers.
I think the thing that stands out to me is when you look recently at some of these young quarterbacks who have had immediate success at the NFL level and their head coaches. Think about this. Doug Peterson, former backup quarterback.
Yep.
Immediately able to get the most out of Carson Wentz early on in his career because, and Jim, you understand this, because as a backup quarterback, there's a lot of information that you got to digest quickly and put yourself in a position to succeed immediately.
But also, every time we talk about one of these examples, let's think about the entirety of the supporting cast. Because, you know, what they put Mitchell Trubisky in, and then they bring in a quarterback, and you bring in Alshon Jeffery, you have a top-flight defense. I just don't want to forget about the supporting cast.
So we'll talk about that on the other side of this break, but I'll give you these names to chew on. Jason Garrett with Dak Prescott, immediate success during his rookie season. Remember when Brock Osweiler had to fill in for Peyton Manning the year they won the championship? Right. Gary Kubiak was his head coach, longtime backup quarterback. I want to know, and Matt Nagy was a tremendous quarterback, granted at a lower level, but he also was a backup quarterback briefly in the NFL.
Right.
How does that translate into success for Mitchell Trubisky? And then we'll get to what Tom talked about. What about the rest of the offense, and how is that going to help players like Tariq Cohen, Adam Shaheen, Jordan Howard, and whoever else the Bears bring in this offseason? That's next. Bears All Access rolls on. Join us. 312-644-6767. Thayer is here. Miller is here. I'm Zaidman. This is Bears All Access on The Score. Head to Punta Cana, Dominican Republic, for an all-inclusive trip with Apple Vacations and your favorite Bears players, including Anthony Adams, Akeem Hicks, Adrian Amos, Marcus Cooper, and Charles Leno Jr. It's this February. Visit applevacations.com/Bears for more info. Alongside Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access brought to you by IGS Energy rolls on. You can join us at 312-644-6767. It's been a big week up at Halas Hall. The 16th head coach in the history of the franchise was hired earlier in the week in Matt Nagy, 39 years old, comes from the Andy Reid coaching tree in Kansas City, and he's going to add a new dimension to this offense that you saw what it did for Alex Smith in Kansas City. It should help Mitchell Trubisky here with the Bears. But Tom brought up a really good point before the break. You can't just talk about Mitchell Trubisky alone and expect the offense to improve. it's the people around Mitchell Trubisky that also have to be put in a better position to succeed around the quarterback.
Well, I mean, two of the examples you brought up, Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott. You look at Carson Wentz and the money they spent on the supporting cast on the defensive side of the ball, then bringing in Alshon Jeffrey. They brought in a running back trade in the, early in the portion of the year. Then you look at Dak Prescott with the receivers he had, a Hall of Famer, a tight end, a big receiver, a wideout, one of the best offensive lines in the league with the top running back. So if you put all those pieces in place, Mitchell Trubisky has all the opportunity to succeed as any other player in the NFL. But that's one going to be one of the key ingredients going forward, is how Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, they look at the draft and they determine what guys are the best fit for what we're going to run and can develop into solid players. And I also think that newly hired offensive line coach Harry Hiestad can really help these guys go out and pick talent that is still in the development stages, even though they're at the NFL, and guys that are going to, you know, understand the type of game that he's going to coach.
Now, Jim, when you often hear the Bears being talked about with the changes that they're making, the comparison keeps being made to what's happened with the Rams the last calendar year and what's happened with the Eagles. But during the last offseason, in addition to adding the bright offensive mind in Sean McVay, the Rams bolstered their offense with three new receivers, two new offensive linemen, and they added one of the premier defensive coordinators in football. And in Philadelphia, like Tom mentioned, this past offseason, they added big-time talent, including Alshon Jeffrey. So question number one, in free agency, you know, over the last couple of years, the best free agents obviously go to teams that they feel have an opportunity to win. Does that change now when opponents have had an opportunity to see what Mitchell Trubisky did in his first year and they know what the new head coach is about and how that can mesh?
Well, it's interesting because you bring it up. Obviously, you know, those to me are quick fixes. Like when we're talking about receivers, and granted, last year the Bears were handcuffed. How many times have we talked? They couldn't even present three wide receivers, 11 personnel, up, you know, almost all the way halfway through the season. I mean, it was just unavailable for the Chicago Bears. But to me, those are quick fixes. And I would think Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy would say that too, that you can go out and, i.e., you know, make a trade for a Sammy Watkins or sign a receiver in free agency. Because that's exactly what Sean McVay did and Les Snead did for the Rams. They identified what they need, or what Sean McVay identified what he needed for what his offense calls for. And then they go out and get Whitworth, who's probably going to be all pro at left tackle this year when it's all said and done. Or he is all pro with the year he's had. But, you know, and Matt knows that. He knows what he wants and envisions offensively and what it needs to succeed. And so those can be quick fixes, and why you say in the NFL you can turn it around, because you've got the draft, you've got free agency that you can dive into, or via trade. To address those issues. So I think they'll identify that, and he knows, coming from Andy Reid, what has been the components, and I say it all the time, that is a tight end-centric offense. When you look at Andy Reid, think about his days in Philadelphia with Smith the tight end and how successful they've been. Think of Travis Kelce. I mean, that's Matt Nagy's world. He knows they need a tight end. He knows they need speed at receiver, i.e. Tariq Hill. So those all have been staples, and obviously a great running game. And I do think the Bears already present that for them, and probably why Harry was brought back to the table for their ability to run the football. And obviously Andy has always had athletic quarterbacks as well. Going back to Brett Favre, to you look at Donovan McNabb, to obviously Alex Smith, and what Andy Reid identified when he arrived in Kansas City. And I think Matt Nagy obviously fits that bill with what he sees in athleticism-wise of Mitchell Trubisky. So I think that's what it's going to be geared towards when you look at the Bears' offense.
You know, I'm interested to think, too, how far away from are we from looking at a backup quarterback in the draft? Because when you think about the depth of this draft, we're putting a lot on the shoulders of Mitchell Trubisky.
Is that fair?
Well, that's what I'm kind of bringing up. I don't know if it's fair, but there is a lot of responsibility that has been thrust upon him because we've been quarterback hungry for the last decade or so.
I mean, he was the number two pick in the draft.
Yes, but you know, when is it acceptable by him where you can go out and draft this guy who's going to be waiting in the wings? You know, because I think we'd be a little naive to think that the quarterback picture here is solved because we have Mitchell Trubisky. I think the quarterback pitcher is a two-tier position that you have to look at it that way, because you know, you look at the amount of offensive linemen they used in a backup role this year, the tight end position, the wide receiver position, every single one of them. They were really fortunate at the running back position with Jordan Tariq and Benny Cunningham, but eventually, somewhere along the way, they got to start thinking quarterback. As much as they thought it last year, they got to start thinking about who that guy that can protect the quarterback position.
I still think it would be a veteran. I mean, they may bring in a young guy as well, but I still think you want to bring in that veteran quarterback, at least to have there to help, you know, help bring Mitchell along. The typical, you know, buffer between the coach, the guy that's there in a supporting role as well, but yet you're still always developing another young quarterback. And again, I think that's the history of Andy Reid as well. You know, when you look at the guys, they had Don McNabb, and yet they still drafted quarterbacks. You know, remember they drafted Kevin Cobb, I think, in the second round when he was in Philadelphia. Ended up trading him away. But there's always that guy that they're cultivating. And I think Andy Reid, probably nobody's been better at him at cultivating the quarterback position and what Andy Reid has been able to do over the years.
I think the thing that fascinates me about Andy Reid is you take a look at the different styles of players that he's had playing the quarterback position for him over the years.
Mike Vick,
Donovan McNabb, Kevin Cobb, you even look at Nick Foles.
You know, even go back and look at some of the quarterbacks that he played with at BYU when Lavelle Edwards was the coach, and he was the most pass-happy coach in all of football. And you go look at the levels of quarterbacks he played back then when he was an offensive tackle at BYU.
And, Jim, I asked this question to Ryan Pace. As a former player and a guy who observes the entire league, what is it about the Andy Reid assistants where, I mean, and it's a who's who list in the NFL of guys who have been very productive head coaches and on all different sides of the ball, whether it's Doug Peterson from an offensive standpoint, John Gruden's the best example out with the Raiders, but you know, Ron Rivera was part of that tree. John Harbaugh won a Super Bowl. What is it about Andy Reid's style from what you know about this league?
Well, I mean, Andy, it goes back all the way to, you know, to Bill Walsh and obviously what was carried to Green Bay. That staff, I mean, think of guys like Dick Duran and John Gruden and Andy Reid. I mean, you got all these bright guys. You know, that's kind of why they're called the kind of the Ivy League of coaches. They're all bright guys who work extremely hard, and they're just spitballing, loving football, and bouncing ideas off one another. And Andy Reid has soaked it all in. Certainly, he's extremely bright and a tremendous coach, but he knows what he wants in his assistants because he kind of is, you know, been on staffs where that's always been the mantra of Andy Reid. And, you know, you think of Andy even in Philadelphia. People forget about the late, great Jim Johnson, the defensive coordinator. That they were incredible as a staff. And that's where kind of Ron Rivera learned under Jim Johnson.
Yeah,
and Sean McDermott.
That. Yeah,
Sean McDermott was there too. Now the head coach of the Buffalo Bills.
You know, it's one thing. One of the most qualities I do admire about Andy Reid the most is I remember years ago when Ron Rivera was coaching for the Philadelphia Eagles, he was telling me then that Andy Reid hires guys that he expects them to have the aspirations of being a head coach. And he wants them to start acting that way from the moment they become an assistant coach with Andy Reid. And Ron was always showing me a flow chart of him being a head coach and what it's going to take and the assistants he wants to hire. And I was amazed when I was talking to Ron about this because he was a young guy just getting into coaching. But that's why you see so many of these coaches having so success from the Andy Reid tree is because he's preaching that to you this minute you coach for him.
Right, and I'm talking about immediate success. You know, you look at Sean McDermott, year one in Buffalo, and you know they didn't have a superstar at the quarterback position, and yet they found a way to make the playoffs. You look at what Doug Peterson's been able to do very quickly in Philadelphia, and you know, you heard George McCaskey say when asked last week what he expects out of the new head coach, it was a simple answer, wins.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of pressure right from the get-go.
Well, I got a good story for you when we come back from the break about Andy Reid, and it's pretty impressive from a current player who's played very well for the Kansas City Chiefs, Alex Smith, and what he told me.
I love the professional tease from the former quarterback,
he's
Jim Miller. Oh, yeah, he knows what he's doing. Bears All Access rolls on. The answer next right here on The Score. Get the latest Bears news, photos, and videos delivered straight to your mobile device. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app presented by Verizon. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman, and so is former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. It's Bears All Access brought to you by IGS Energy. And Tom and I have been talking. Jim, tell us the story.
Yeah, it was interesting because everybody knows I do a show on Sirius NFL radio and with Pat Kerwin. He's longtime executive in the NFL, and he and Brad Childress are thick as thieves. All right, they live next to each other down there in Florida. They're best friends, great guys. And I knew last year, as you know, we travel around and do the training camp tour, and we do Kansas City. And you know, I kind of knew Brad Childress was retiring this year, and Andy already knew that as well. Andy Reid did. And so in 2016, when Matt Nagy became the offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs, I talked to Alex Smith about this. He goes, Jim, Andy's running our whole offense, every meeting, every play installed by the head coach himself, because he was preparing Matt Nagy. This is how it's done. You know, not that Brad's not a great guy to do it too, because Brad is play caller, former head coach in the NFL, but it was kind of the teacher teaching the pupil. This is how it's done. This is how you got to install play, how detailed it needs to be explained and expressed to the players, and how it's introduced. And Alex Smith said it was unbelievable. It was a freaking coaching clinic, you know. And now when you look back, and Andy knows that Brad ultimately is going to call it a career, and you know, whether he helps out the Bears with a consulting job or something like that, because I'm sure Matt would love to have Brad on board as well. But I mean. All Matt had to do was just watch the wealth of knowledge every single day, because Alex just said it was the most amazing thing he's ever witnessed, you know, a coach do every single play. After all these years Andy Reid has been in the league, he goes, Jim, everybody, even on the staff, was like, I've never seen Andy Reid like this, and how he broke down everything and explained everything, all the coaching points, all the player points, you name it, he did it. And that's just a wealth of knowledge that has been dumped on Matt Nagy that I'm sure he cherishes and he appreciates it. And certainly, Andy Reid knew what he had. It was all those years, you know, after he was done playing arena and, you know, joined the staff basically as an intern in Philadelphia, and he's been with Andy the whole time. So he's been soaking it up the whole time. But they said it was like a clinic all through that 2016 season.
Well, you know, it's kind of neat for Andy to do, because I remember a couple years ago when Tressman was here, they talked about him diagramming a play and how long it would take. And he said, I could do one play in one day. And that is true when you think about this, because, you know, say Vic Fangio, he ran four or five different fronts this year. And then now each four or five different fronts, the second level and the third level are in different positions. Now if you take that same play and you have to run it against a couple hundred defensive fronts, or where personnel can stand according to the front called, it can take you that long to describe one play. So I think for what Andy Reid does for his young coach is by get up there and methodically explaining every single block of every single player. And now it can completely change between two players as someone shades from one eyeball to the next eyeball. So there are so many subtle changes in there. And I could see Andy Reid, you know, loving the opportunity to stand up there and teach in front of these prospective head coaches.
I just think what you guys have been talking about, and I heard it with Ryan Pace at the beginning of the show, just the fact that if you're a quarterback, you have answers to the puzzle that's being presented to you by the defense. So you can understand, if you study, you will be in a position where there is an answer to whatever's being thrown your way. And you're not standing there, like Jim said, where you just know, man, this is going to be a broken play no matter what happens.
Yeah, and you know what? And I would encourage Mitchell, you know, whether it's, say, it's Vic Fangio or any defensive guy, it's funny because you are kind of in two different worlds. You know what you're trying to accomplish in attack on offense. But I remember even when I started out in Pittsburgh and Dick LeBeau was our defensive coordinator, and I had to do the show teams, right? So, and Dick LeBeau would come up to me and said, Jim, this is what we're looking for. And they have a different perspective of looking at things. And you learn a lot about defenses just by talking to the other side of the ball. Or like after I left Pittsburgh, I went down and started to talk to Dick Geron, who was a defensive coordinator under Tom Coughley. He said, Jim, this is what we're trying to accomplish. I need you to try and really attack this area of the ball. Here's why. We're trying to invite the quarterback, entice him into throwing in this area, and we're going to get an interception. Or a guy like Eric Mangini with the New England Patriots when I was there. We would sit down literally every week. He said, Jim, this is what we're trying to do here. This is what I need you, like if we were playing the Indianapolis Colts. This is what Peyton tries to do, but here's what I'm trying to accomplish on defense. And it's interesting how different defensive guys look at it, because certainly Matt's got that, knows what he wants to do to attack a defense, but he's been bouncing these ideas. You know, think about all those coaches' meetings when, you know, even for a training camp where the defensive coach saying, hey, this is what we're trying to accomplish, Matt. We really want you to attack this area, and here's why. And Matt's learning the defensive perspective to take his game and his knowledge to another level. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, must have spent a lot of time with Bob Sutton in Kansas City, yep, their defensive coordinator. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about the Bears defense and the idea of keeping things intact and what happens if Vic Fangio doesn't come back. We'll discuss next on Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This segment of Bears All Access is orchestrated by CDW. CDW, people who get it. 85 Bear, Tom Thayer's here. So's Jim Miller. I'm Zach Sabin. You can join us at 312-644-6767. The phone number here on Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy. So we had a chance to talk to Ryan Pace, and we asked him about the current status of where things are between the Bears and Vic Fangio, and the Bears remain in communication with Fangio about a possible return as defensive coordinator. What's the value of Vic?
You know, player development. I think the players have finally took an understanding of a system, so it's more of a free-flow style of play. They can morph into four or five different fronts depending upon the talent or the style of offense they're facing. I think he's got a tremendous amount of respect in the building in terms of a guy like Leonard Floyd, who's really was coming on, developing, was being able to be used as a weapon along with Akeem Hicks. And he's just got respect all around the league. He has a great understanding of opponents' offenses, and he understands how to use his talent, players speaking, to best defense the system he's facing.
And he's very proud, Jim, of what he's been able to accomplish with this defense, considering what he inherited coming in. The other thing is, if you look at Fangio's career as a defensive coordinator, he hasn't been on many teams where that team has had a really good quarterback that has been able to have a lot of success. So having the intimate knowledge that of seeing Mitchell Trubisky in games, in practice, the work that he puts in, I think that plays a big role, too, in whether he's going to decide to stay or go.
Yeah, well, like you said, he's kind of a proud papa. This is his baby when you look at defense, and from where it started 3 years ago to where it is now, which is what? Top 10 defense when you look at the Bears. So, yeah, I mean, he knows football, and the kind of proof is in the pudding. The players know that. Players know that, how important he is. You know, and hopefully, you know, if everything's right and the opportunity's there and he wants to return, that'd be great for the Bears. But, you know, there are other guys on the staff. You know, you look at Ed Donatell. He's been a DC in the NFL. I know he and Vic are thick as thieves, but, you know, there's guys that know the system too. But, you know, I'm like most Bear fans. Hopefully, I think time is really beneficial. I mean, because, you know, maybe those discussions are going on that he could join another organization. But, you know, I would think for Vic Fangio, the longer this drags out, the opportunity for him to return hopefully is high for the Chicago Bears.
You know, what is the player requirement for Vic Fangio to be successful? I think his track record throughout his NFL career has been he's always had great linebackers, develop great linebackers during his stay here. And I think that's true for the Bears. They have to understand how their linebacker position is going to fit together. Who's healthy, who's not, who's beyond their years of service. You know, Leonard Floyd, how healthy is he going to be? Where are they going to be at in the interior? So I think you have to take the time to satisfy Vic Fangio. I do think he's understands that there's players out in the draft that are talented, that he wants the Bears to set their sights on some guys early in the draft to help his defense out immediately. You know, they were very fortunate when they struck gold with Eddie Jackson, who came out of Alabama and played like a higher draft choice than he was.
And you don't know how free agency is going to play a role in this, too.
Because Kyle Fuller.
You might be able to get some of the players that you're looking for via free agency. And I think obviously, with the injury to Floyd, and you saw this, I think, in the second half of the season, when he went down, they were not able to generate that consistent pass rush that they had in October.
Well, when he and Akeem Hicks pass rushing together next to each other, it really puts a lot of fear into that side of the offense in the terms of protection than when you don't have Leonard Floyd there and you got Akeem rushing by himself.
All right, so Jim, take us through what Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are going through right now. When they're looking to construct the team on a day-by-day basis, they hired Harry Hiestand as the offensive line coach. What's next in terms of order of importance?
Yeah, I think, like you said, I mean, obviously for the defensive side of the ball, you want that in place, and you want the strongest staff with a wealth of experience and knowledge of what they can bring to the table and how they can be the support system for a first-time NFL head coach and Matt Nagy. And I think that really is the focus right now. You know, here the Senior Bowl is just around the corner, but a lot of it is getting the strongest staff together that you can. That's kind of the team within the team. And Matt Nagy, trust me, and Ryan Pace, they want the strongest team of coaches that they can find.
All right, so I've got good news. We're going to do this again next week. I'll be here, Tom will be here, Jim will be here, and who knows how many new members of the Bears coaching staff will have been hired. So there's going to be a lot to talk about.
It's going to be a nonstop offseason,
It's so exciting, isn't it?
Yes.
Because you feel as though this team is turning the corner in a direction that we haven't seen it go in quite a while and kind of putting the pieces together. So for Tom and Jim, I'm Zach. Thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Chicago Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by IGS Energy and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and PNC.